5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Lowe's, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, install, and more when you spend $2,500 on select major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 2/25 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Florida. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
I ran into myself in the future, then in the past, by Comfy DW. It all started when I was 19. I used to run down this long, open road in northeast Tennessee. The area was wide open, with only fields on either side, and barely any houses in sight. I ran this same route every day, as I was training hard before joining the army. One day I was planning to take a rest day, but I had this strange wave of motivation pushing me to go. It stayed with me all day, so I finally chalked it up to just that, motivation. It was 3 p.m., which was a lot later than my usual runs. Normally I'd go at around 6 or 7 a.m. I was about 3 miles in when I looked down at my phone to change the song, and out of nowhere, I ran straight into someone. This man was the same height as me, with a long beard and a pretty large build. He was on the ground, so I helped him up. I said, "My bad, sir. I didn't see anyone else around here." He replied, "All good." But then he looked up at me, and it was like he'd seen a ghost. I've never seen fear like that in someone's face unless I was pranking them. His mouth was wide open, eyes locked on me, almost frozen. He stuck his hand out, and I wasn't sure what he was doing, so I just said, "Take care, sorry again," and kept going. Fast forward about 10 years later. I've been in the army for 6 years now. I have a religious exemption to grow my beard, and I started lifting a lot more. I'm feeling good, doing well. Leave for the holidays comes around, and I get this feeling that I should go home and visit my family. I hadn't been back since 2019, because flying out of Hawaii was just too expensive, and back then I was just a poor private. Now I'm stationed closer to home, and a sergeant with some money saved up. So I flew into East Tennessee and stayed at a hotel. On the third day, the air smelled nostalgic. It was the start of fall, I kept thinking about the old house where I used to live with my parents, about 30 minutes away. My mom's ex-boyfriend still lives there. It's around noon. I had lunch and decided to drop by and see how he and his kids were doing. We sat and talked for a while, had a couple of beers just for old time's sake. Then, for no specific reason, I felt like checking out my old running route. I told him, "I'm gonna go walk my old route. It's nostalgic and it did a lot for me, especially as a young adult preparing for the army." I started walking, and it was dead silent. There was a slight breeze, and the fields around me were just beautiful. Suddenly, I felt like I got tackled out of nowhere. As far as I knew, no one was around. Then, I heard someone say, "My bad, sir, I didn't see anyone else around here." I looked down for my phone, which had fallen out of my hand, and responded, "All good." Then I looked up, and it felt like the world turned upside down. Panic hit me like a wave. Nothing felt real. I saw the kid, and it was literally me. I tried to say something, but my mouth went dry. I just reached out, instinctively wanting to touch my younger self. He looked at my hand, smiled, and said, "Take care. Sorry again." Then put his headphones back in and took off running. I stood there for just a few seconds, trying to piece my brain back together. Then I yelled, "Joe, come back," and started running to catch up to him, but I never saw him again. This was an open road. He couldn't have gotten far, but he was gone, vanished. This has been sitting with me ever since, like some weird dream I can't shake.
Somewhere in Time by As Above, So Below 75. In the early 90s, I went to school in upstate New York. It was my first experience away from home for any length of time. This particular college town was built around a beautiful lake, and because of that, when summer came to a close, everything closed up with it. Picture a vibrant, happening center turning into a barren ghost town overnight. With the cold weather, the sky went from beautiful blue to dull, lifeless gray, and it stayed that way until spring. One of my housemates was also a weed dealer, which was convenient for me as I was a chronic stoner at the time. We would make these elaborate dinners where every course featured weed in the recipe. The result were full bellies, stoned minds, and huge messes to clean up. Our dinners quickly became something that people from other houses wanted to join. So we would have guests over, and the rule was that they had to clean up after the meal. Somehow they didn't mind, and ours quickly became the house that everybody wanted to hang out at. One very dark, cold, and windy night, we had 4 to 5 female guests from another school. I had a girlfriend at the time, so I behaved, but the rest of the housemates hooked up, and a good time was had by all. It was a weeknight, and when it came time for the girls to leave, their car wouldn't start. Naturally, they came knocking on my door, as I was the only one with a car. It was around midnight, and they lived a good hour away, so I reluctantly agreed to take them. My housemate, James, agreed to come with us. There were no streetlights, and it was dark and cold as hell. It began to snow. On a good day, we hardly knew our way around our own school, and this was a totally different area. It was a tense, white-knuckle ride the whole way, but eventually we got there. The house where they lived was a converted estate with a long driveway and huge iron gates. As I turned into the driveway, the snow really started coming down. We could see 2 dull red lights off in the distance. As we got closer, we saw that it wasn't a car, but an elaborate stagecoach lumbering through the snow. As we went to overtake it on the road, we all looked over and saw that it was a huge black stagecoach being pulled by a team of black horses. The red lights that we saw were lanterns on its sides. The driver was also dressed in black, sitting pin straight and looking straight ahead. He didn't even glance at us. It was like we weren't even there. Everyone in the car saw this. We asked the girls if this was a common thing where they lived. They said no. They had never seen anything like it before. At the time, we just thought that it was very strange. Why would someone be out in a stagecoach after midnight in a snowstorm? I remember thinking maybe this is just how things are done up in the country. It didn't occur to us right away that it could be anything else. After we dropped them off at the house, we turned around to leave, both fully expecting to see that stagecoach again since their house was the only thing at the end of the driveway slash road. Instead, we saw nothing. No horses, no hoof prints, no other tracks but our own coming from the other way. At that point, it finally dawned on us, no doubt a delayed reaction from dinner. James and I realized that we may have just seen not only a ghost, but ghost horses and a ghost stagecoach. It's been more than 30 years, and anytime I see James, we still talk about that night.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
My Family Sees Me When I'm Not There by Parker Uwu Forever. This happened around a year ago. My mom, stepdad, and I are driving about 3 hours away to pick up our new motorhome. We stopped at the gas station, and I ran inside with my mom to grab some food while my stepdad filled the motorhome with gas. My mom went to speak with him while I put some things in the car. Then I went back around to find her as she started looking for me. As I reached the back of the motorhome, I heard her say, "Why are you hiding?" I assumed she was talking to our dog Ripley, who was in the car. I then happened to sneeze, and my mom turned to look at me. Her eyes got wide, and she looked at me completely freaked out. I was confused and asked her what happened, thinking maybe Ripley was being weird. My mom didn't say anything. Once I got into the front seat, she let out a stressed, panicked laugh, like she was trying not to cry. The following conversation ensued. "Mom, what happened? She didn't say anything, just sat there, frozen in fear. "What is it?" I continued. "Is Ripley being weird?" "No," she said. "I saw you in the back seat." Apparently, when she got to the car, she saw me lying on the floor of the back seat, grinning up at her. She thought I was being goofy and trying to scare her. The "why are you hiding" comment was directed towards me. When she heard me sneeze, she turned her head. Once she saw the real me, her eyes got wide and she whipped back around, only to see that I was suddenly no longer in the back seat and had vanished, or perhaps teleported. Rightfully so, she started crying. Imagine seeing your child in the back seat of your car, being a little weirdo, only to turn your head and, in an instant, see that same child in a different location. To make things even more concerning, she said that before she turned her head, she saw my smile go from silly and playful to very menacing and scary. I have one other similar occurrence to share, this time involving my brother Robert, who was 16 at the time. The details are foggy, so bear with me. I walked out of my room and stopped at the door to the living room, which is where Robert was. He and I chatted for a minute, with him looking at me as we did. He looked down at his phone when it dawned on him that I had left over an hour ago to go to the store. I wasn't home. He looked back up, and I was gone. Around 20 minutes later, I returned home and he was still there. A little freaked out, you could say. He told me about what happened, and we were both so confused as to what it could have been. On top of that, I've heard my family calling me numerous times, only to find that they haven't. The most notable incident involved both my mom and Robert. One night, I was at my desk and heard Robert call my name. So I got up and went into his room to see what he wanted. He said he didn't call me, but we stood talking for a minute. As I turned on my heel to leave, I heard my mom call out my nickname, Monkey. So I did a 180 and headed into her room. But when I got there, she said she didn't call me either. It was memorable, since I was called out for twice in a matter of minutes. I do know we have at least two spirits in my house, one attached to my mom and one to me. Nothing has ever seemed hostile. The worst thing they've done is move stuff around, which has made me late a few times. Just a mild inconvenience.
I Went Through a Town That Doesn't Exist by Death Turkey. For some context, I'm a 25-year-old male, and this happened when I was about 13. Yes, it's been a long time, but my family and I still talk about it to this day. It involves all of us. While I still talk about it, I unfortunately have a hard time remembering the exact dates and some parts of it due to some head trauma. That means some of the finer details I can't remember exactly, but I know this happened sometime during 2012. I think it happened on our way from Washington to Oklahoma. We had made this trip several times, and I can't remember which way we were headed on this specific trip. I just know that it was somewhere in Washington State. We had been on the road all day. It was nighttime, probably around 10 or 11 p.m., The sun had already set and everyone was tired. We had two cars to fit everything. My sister, my mom, and I rode in the SUV while my brother and his girlfriend at the time, who is now his wife, rode in the small four-door car. We had been on a long stretch of road surrounded by pine and evergreen trees on both sides. The GPS said that we wouldn't reach another town for a good 10 miles or so, but there were lights just down the road. We thought that maybe the GPS needed to be updated or something because small towns didn't show up on these at the time. It was a Garmin, the kind that you stuck to the car window, plugged into your car, entered an address, and picked up your route. We took the same routes every time, depending on the time of year. I believe we went during the summer, but I could be wrong. We knew the routes by this point, and we didn't expect this town. As we came closer, my brother called my mom, saying he was tired and his girlfriend was already asleep, so she couldn't drive. My mom agreed that she might be too tired for this as well, so we needed to pull over and find a hotel in this town. My brother said all right, slowed down to get behind us, and followed us to pull over. At this point, everything seemed fine, and nothing was out of the ordinary. It wasn't until we passed the sign with the town's name on it that my gut twisted into knots. I remember watching as we neared the town, feeling an inkling of something that I didn't quite understand yet. Everything seemed fine, but I kept watching my surroundings as we drove. The lights had a sickly yellow or orange hue, as if they were old and weary. I remember looking at the sign as we passed, but I can't remember the name of the town. And the funny thing is, nobody can. No one has been able to remember. We even wrote it down that night so that we would stay away from this road. We passed the sign, and my gut dropped. At the time, I didn't understand that what I was feeling was anxiety. I just remember thinking we were being watched. But looking around, there was no one. It was the middle of the night, so people were probably asleep, but there were no cars, no signs of life, and the air itself was stagnant as we drove through. Yes, the kid in me had a very active imagination, but my older brother can confirm the town was empty in a way that scared even him. Buildings had lights on, but there was no one inside. No employees, nothing. We saw a church sitting on a small hill just to the right side of town and drove up to it, parking near the door as it was the only light in the gravel parking lot. Oddly, this was the only light that was white and didn't have that sick hue to it. We all stepped out of the cars to stretch our legs and find a hotel. My mom told me and my sister, who was about 9 or 10 at the time, to stay close, slipping in the fact that she had a creepy feeling as well. At the time, I dismissed the small statement and just walked around the car to move my legs when something moved behind the dumpster that was across the parking lot. The light on the door didn't reach all the way to the dumpster, but I could barely see its outline enough to know it was a dumpster. Of course, I thought, it's an animal. But that feeling came back. It was like I was being watched. At this point, I didn't want to be there. As if reading my mind, something scattered along the gravel, seemingly darting behind the dumpster. My mom heard this and ordered my sister and me to get into the car. I stood staring for a moment before walking backwards to the car. For whatever reason, I just didn't feel like turning my back to it. It felt dangerous. We waited in the car as my brother had his girlfriend get back in their car. He walked over to my mom, helped her put the address in the GPS, and then got into his car as we drove off. I couldn't bring myself to look back at the dumpster as we left. We drove through town, and again, everything seemed eerily empty and clean. There was no litter, no trash, nothing suggested life besides the streetlights that were still on. We reached the edge of town following the GPS and turned into this gravel road that led down into a giant opening surrounded by thick, dense woods. In this lot was a motel. And I don't mean a hotel or anything fancy. It was a two-story L-shaped building with about 30 to 40 rooms. The check-in was a separate small building just to the side of the rooms. It had only one light in the parking lot, besides the small ones above the doors. This light was a hollow white. We pulled in, and my mom called my brother, telling him to park near the SUV and stay in the car while she went to check in. Here's where it gets a little tricky. The building was small, but the windows were big. We could see inside, just enough to watch our mother go in and talk to the guy at the counter. The building was simple, white walls with soft pastel green trim and a dark gray counter. But here's the thing. My sister, brother, and I all saw different things. When our mother went in, I saw her talking to an old man with a thin, frail stature and a permanent scowl. He looked old, weary, and miserable, with slightly sunken eyes and pale, hanging skin. My sister says she saw a young man who seemed nervous and annoyed, with dark hair and deep eyes. My brother says he saw a middle-aged man who was aloof and uncaring with a beard and dark hair. I cannot remember all of the details they gave me, but I remember the main differences. When our mother came out, she got in the car and waved for my brother to follow. We parked in front of our rooms, which were two side-by-side rooms. We were told to only bring the essentials in for the night because she didn't want to stay any longer than necessary in the morning. We all agreed, grabbed as little as we needed, and headed to our rooms. My sister, my mom, and I stayed in the right room, while my brother and his girlfriend stayed in the left room. My sister asked to take a shower, and my mom went to help her get ready, since she wasn't sure how it worked. It turns out, it didn't. The water would not turn on, so my mom called my brother to let him know. He came in to get her so that she could use their shower. While they were gone, my mom looked at the beds, noticing I was staring at them as well. She asked, "You don't want to touch them either, do you?" I smiled and shook my head, relieved that I wasn't alone in this feeling. I told her that they felt gross. She agreed. My brother then suddenly burst back into our room, looking a little frantic but trying to keep calm. He told us to pack our things and asked my mom to follow him. She nodded and followed. I began putting stuff in my bag. My sister returned looking very freaked out, and I offered to help her pack while asking what happened. She struggled to explain while finally saying there was blood in the shower when they went in. She freaked out, had my brother check it out, and then they came to get my mom. She returned and calmly told us to put our things back into the truck and get in. At that point, I could feel how bad this place was. I began to panic and hurried to get our stuff into the car. I then offered to help with my brother's stuff, and of course, curiosity got the best of me. I snuck into the bathroom to look at the shower, and yes, there was definitely blood splattered all along the tub. I turned, meeting my brother's girlfriend, and we both just left. We got in the cars, and neither my brother nor my mom wasted time driving away, not even stopping for a refund or to report the blood. My brother wanted to, but my mom insisted it didn't matter since she used cash. We drove on, intending to reach the next town. Unfortunately, my brother needed gas. Luckily, as we reached the edge of the town and left it in our rearview mirrors, there was a gas station. But again, there were no cars, not even an employee's car. My brother pulled to the pump, and my mom pulled next to him so that we were all still together. We all jumped out and went inside after he pumped the gas. We were all wide awake by now, so we grabbed a drink and a snack and paid for the gas. That part went fine until we got back outside. As we headed back to the cars, I was walking next to my brother, laughing with him to ease the tension. Then, as he was putting the gas cap back on, something moved across the parking lot. Both our heads shot up, and we stared at the shed in the back corner, with tall, intimidating trees behind it. All of a sudden, two figures about 6 feet tall darted and ran behind the shed. My brother slowly closed his gas tank without taking his eyes off the shed and said, "Get in the car." As soon as he said that, three pairs of glowing yellow amber eyes stared back at us from beside the shed, and they were both taller than said shed. We just stood there staring. I remember watching as these things seemed to rise as if stepping from behind the shed, but their eyes never looked away. They had this golden reflective film to them, like how a dog's eyes shine in a picture, but instead of green, blue, or red, they had a deep golden glow. I couldn't see enough to know what these things looked like exactly, as they were well hidden among the trees, but I knew that they weren't any animal I had seen before. We have elk up in Washington, and they do get big, but their eyes really don't reach above 5 feet. The shed was easily 8 to 9 feet, and these things towered over it. One of the pairs of eyes felt like they were staring right at me, not just at me, but almost through me, as if they were judging my soul. My brother yelled for us to get into the car and leave, snapping me back to reality. And I realized I was staring at something inhuman. He raced to the front seat of his car while I jumped into ours, and he sped off with my mom following close behind. She asked what happened because she hadn't seen that part, but luckily my sister had, so we began explaining what happened. My mom called my brother, and he told her the same thing. She simply said, "We're never coming through here ever again." After this, we drove to the next town and we found a Holiday Inn. We spent the next hour talking about what happened until we were calm enough to sleep. The next day, we tried to look up the town that we had gone through the night before, but we couldn't find anything. We thought that maybe it just wasn't a well-known town, so we looked at older maps and even asked people in the area about the town a few miles away. Nobody knew anything about it. They even said that there wasn't a town that way for miles. Since then, it's left us all dumbfounded. There's no point in trying to find it now that we can't remember the name, but it's a deep enough memory that we talk about it sometimes. It's like something we can't forget, no matter how hard we try.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Evil Lurked in My Childhood Home by Nitro Ninja. When I was a kid, we lived in a small, isolated house on the edge of a half-developed neighborhood. There were only about 6 houses on our block, and ours was the last one before many overgrown weeds and empty land stretched out into the dark. At night, the area was deserted, and you'd rarely see anyone stepping outside. I lived there from the ages of 7 to 13, and looking back, it felt like I was trapped inside one of those disturbing, uncanny horror films where reality always seems just a little bit off. Before I dive into the incidents, it's worth mentioning that our life in that house was filled with a sense of suffocating dread. Financially, we struggled a lot during those years, drowning in debt. Strangely, though, things turned around for us as soon as we moved out. Family fights erupted daily, and I remember feeling terrified constantly. I remember not going too far into any room so that if anything jumped out, I could run through the door easily. I don't know why I did that, to be honest. Here are some of the events that made me believe that something was haunting us. Incident 1, the Unseen Watcher. I remember staying home from school one day because I was sick. I was curled up on the couch watching Barney, trying to distract myself from the eerie feeling of the house. At some point, I felt someone standing beside me. I assumed it was my mom joining me to watch the show, so I didn't think much of it. A few minutes passed and I casually asked her something. There was no response. I asked her one more time, and again there was no response. So I turned and I found no one there. That's when it hit me. My mom wasn't even home. She had left for work hours ago, and I was completely alone in the house. This freaked me out, and I opened the front door and sat on the porch until my parents came home, because it felt so real. It felt like someone was actually there. Incident 2, the Yellow Ball and the Swarm. This incident happened to my sister, but I'll explain it from my perspective. We all used to sleep in the same room, since our house only had one bedroom. My sister and I would sleep in between our parents to feel safe. One night, she was studying for a test in the living room. At around 12:30 in the morning, I started to fall asleep. When suddenly, my sister burst through the door and jumped on the bed, crying and scared. After calming her down, she told us what happened. She was in the living room, studying for a test, when out of nowhere, a yellow ball with a smiley face on it rolled into the hallway from the other room. And as it came to a stop, dozens of cockroaches scurried out from the same room, like they do when they hear humans walking. Our house had a serious cockroach problem. The floors practically came alive with them at night. She said a heavy sense of dread washed over her as she stared into the dark hallway. Then she saw it. A shadowy figure emerging from the darkness, moving in a way that made her feel cold all over. She told us that she felt stuck for a second and froze in fear before running to the bedroom. Incident 3, the disappearing glasses. My dad couldn't find his glasses one morning. He had recently undergone cataract surgery, so they were essential. The whole family spent what felt like hours scouring every inch of the house. We checked his shelf multiple times, which was where he usually kept them, but they were nowhere to be found. We left for school, defeated and convinced that the glasses were gone for good. But later that evening, as we were sitting around, my dad suddenly called out to my mom, sounding almost angry. We rushed over to find the glasses sitting right there on the shelf, exactly where we had checked over and over again. My dad thought we were playing a prank on him, but we weren't. There was no explanation for how they could have reappeared like that. And it wasn't him pranking us either. He was clearly mad that whole day. Incident 4, the mysterious fortune teller. How would you feel if a random, creepy-looking guy stood in front of your house and started chanting? Well, in South Indian culture, there's a figure known as a Kudu Gudupu. I probably mispronounced that. I've not heard much about them, but they are like devotees of God who roam the streets and randomly tell fortunes to people. But most people avoid them, fearing that his predictions might bring misfortune. My first encounter with one of them was when I was young. I remember hearing a man singing some kind of religious song just a few meters from our doorstep. I went to check on it, but my mom quickly grabbed me and told me to be silent and not to make any sound. We pretended like nobody was home, and eventually he went away. I was so confused and asked my mom who he was, but she didn't explain and just brushed the whole thing off. Years later, as the strange happenings in our house grew more intense, a similar figure began appearing near our house while my dad was home alone. For several days, this man stood near our door, chanting and seemingly delivering cryptic messages at night. Finally, my dad confronted him, telling him to stay away. I never saw the man again after that, but I couldn't shake the feeling that his presence was somehow connected to the disturbances. Incident 5, the chanting yogi. My sister also had recurring nightmares while we lived there. She remembers one in particular that terrified her. She would wake up to a vivid vision of a figure, like a yogi or a mystic, sitting on her chest, chanting in an unknown language. She could feel his weight pressing down on her, making it almost impossible to breathe. This vision plagued her until we left that house for good. We finally moved out of that place, and to our relief, the strange experiences almost entirely stopped. Our financial situation improved. The family conflicts became less frequent, and that constant, creepy fear seemed to lift. I can't explain what was happening in that house, but living there always felt like I was stuck in a disturbing horror film, one that I desperately wanted to escape.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Parker's story seems simple on the surface, but I think it has some interesting layers. The mom and brother both on separate occasions think they interacted with Parker, but it ended up apparently being Parker's doppelganger.
Yeah, I wonder if something runs in the family, because then Parker heard them both calling out their name just minutes apart.
Yeah, that's what I mean by all the interesting layers. The mom and brother each have an experience that's like, oh wait, that's not you, Parker. And Parker later had that experience where he heard his mom and brother call for him separately, but it ended up not being them.
Maybe it's a mimic?
Yeah, perhaps. I do want to talk about the name Parker, though. I have a bone to pick with that one.
Well, I don't know what's there to talk about.
No, I'm kidding. At least not Parker specifically. I was just thinking about names that are basically verbs, or at least seem like they are. Like if your last name were Tater, I'd be wondering what does a tater do?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about that too. Someone who tates.
Hey, you've been a tater all along.
I'm the Tate.
The signs were all there. How could I have not known?
I think about that too, to be honest. I knew somebody with the last name Poacher, and I was always wondering, like, how did their family end up with that one and why?
Yeah, did their ancestors discover the perfect formula for boiling poached eggs, or are they forever on the run from fish and game? I don't know.
Yeah, it makes me think of the bad guy in The Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, yeah, Joanna.
Yeah, yeah. But when in doubt, always ask.
Yeah, demand explanations.
Yeah, definitely.
So I do love Sobolo's stories. Great storyteller with a lot of creepy experiences, I can see.
Yeah, yeah. I'll always feature any of the stories that they're willing to share. It seems like they have plenty.
At first, I thought it could have been like an Amish person and a horse and buggy, but the author mentioned they hadn't seen anything like that before. So I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You'd expect two girls living on that same road that they would know about an Amish community in their area.
You would think.
Yeah, I know that there are a decent amount of Amish communities in upstate New York, so it's not completely out of the realm of possibility, but the house was, you know, at the end of the road and there was nothing else out there. It's like the carriage was headed out there to nowhere and then it just disappeared.
Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense because like you said, you would definitely know if there was an Amish community right near your home, especially on such an empty road that doesn't really lead to anywhere.
Yeah. You know, their story reminded me of the first time I got my ticket.
Did you get a DUI on a horse?
No, it was a 95 Saturn. I thought that it was hideous at the time, but I've looked at pictures of it now and it actually looked kind of cool.
But it wasn't a DUI though, right? Let's clarify.
No, it wasn't a DUI. I've never done that.
Okay. Okay, good, good. Yeah, I mean, that's just how things go. You never really know what you have until it's gone. Like the Mustang. Remember the Mustang era? That was fun.
Oh, we had good fun in that Mustang.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Anyways, I apologize if I've told this story before on the show, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, no. As far as I know, we haven't aired the same story twice, unless it was one of like the compilation episodes. So I think as long as we avoid that, knock on wood, we can repeat ourselves here without much consequence. That's just how conversations go.
Yeah, yeah. So it was the opening night of Star Wars Revenge of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a late showing. I can't remember what time we got out, but it was really close to my curfew. And I did have a curfew. I was a sheltered kid.
Aw, sweet little boy Tate and his caring parents.
Yeah, you'd think. Anyway.
Wait, are you saying like, are you not sweet or are your parents not caring? This is, we got to dive deeper on this one. Impromptu therapy session.
It was just a joke.
Oh, okay. It's not that deep.
Nah, it's not that deep.
Okay, well, proceed.
Yeah, so I was with a friend that I had to take home in a hurry. But we ran into two of his friends after the movie. These were two girls that didn't have a ride home, so we offered to take them home. But we had to leave right away because of the curfew thing. They took us all over town, and I mean like back roads and places that I had never been before. And the thing is, they had no idea where they lived.
How does that even happen? Like, I guess this is probably before the time of maps on our phones and all that and widespread GPS, but still, like, I don't know how people could be comfortable leaving their house without knowing exactly how to get back home.
That's what I thought. And I don't remember if they even had an explanation. I can only guess that they had never been to the movie theater or that part of town, which It's weird because we know what town we're talking about. It's very small.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have a good explanation. When I look back on it now, it feels like they were messing with me. But they were so apologetic and upset at themselves. It just didn't really make any sense.
Yeah, that's really bizarre. I don't see the gain there. It just wastes everybody's time.
Yeah, yeah. It took me like an hour or two just to find their house, and it was on the outskirts of town. Then I had to find my way back into town, obviously without maps on my phone or anything. And I had to drop my friend off and then try to get home.
Okay, I gotcha. So you were probably speeding to avoid breaking your curfew, pissing off Mama Bear.
Yeah, exactly. And I was speeding by a high school, which makes it worse. And, you know, I had to get my friend home and a cop pulled me over, not because I was speeding, but because I had my lights off.
I mean, I would say that's a lot more dangerous than the speeding itself.
I agree.
Well, maybe the adrenaline gave you night vision, so I can't fault you too bad.
Yeah, it must have been that, because I was seeing just fine, as far as I can remember. Anyway, he gave me a ticket and I got grounded and yelled at. It was a nightmare of a night, and I'll never, ever forget it.
What's so sad is that you weren't even up to any trouble. You were just trying to help out those two girls and help them get home.
Yeah.
And you still beat your curfew, but because you got that ticket, oh no.
Yeah, it still got grounded. It sucked. But at least I didn't come across some ghost carriage.
While drunk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I noticed that in Death Turkey's story about the ghost town, the kids all saw a different person at the counter of the motel office, but they didn't tell us who the mom saw when she talked to him.
Yeah, so yeah, they all saw the person as a different type of person. Like, mm-hmm. they just portrayed themselves, or they projected themselves differently to each person. That was actually addressed online. She unfortunately passed away a few years ago, so they didn't get a chance to talk to her about it when they shared the story.
That's too bad. Rest in peace, Mom.
Yes, definitely. They did say that they thought she saw an older man, but he didn't quite have the same features that the author saw.
Ooh, another story that just barely dips its toes into the paranormal, but I love those ones.
Yeah, me too. It's so much more impactful when it's subtle like that. All those creepy yellow eyes from behind the dumpster.
Yeah, it's such a haunting image, like a jack-o'-lantern or something.
Yeah, I agree. Great stories this week, everyone. And if you have a story to share, make sure you send it to stories@oddtrails.com if you want to hear yours on the show. And sign up for a Patreon to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate at patreon.com/oddtrails. And make sure you sign up with a browser like Safari, Chrome, or anything like that. Don't sign up through the app if you're an iPhone user. Apple is doing a thing where they're charging an additional 30% to anyone who signs up on Patreon through the Apple app. You can use the Apple app after you sign up, but make sure you sign up through a browser so you can save some money. And finally, make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, The Old Time Radiocast, and Cryptic Encounters at crypticcountypodcasts.com. Everybody stay safe.
Peace out.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.